Wave if you can hear me. Okay. So, good evening to some of you. Good afternoon. Good morning to a few. This is, oh my goodness, what date do we have? August 4th, I believe, the Tuesday Live with Linda. And we're just having people pop on now. We've got about 15 people here, and it's just such a joy for me to have this opportunity to connect with you, especially in these times when we've got many people who are still locked in various parts of the world. And I would really appreciate it if you could just write your, go up into the chat and you'll see a place where you can put your name so I can see who you are, because I really enjoy connecting with you all and knowing who you are and where you're from. And this morning we have Judy Klein, who's been in my office with me, responsible for the shipping for, I think it's 23 years now, Judy. And Judy's taking over for Kirsten Henry, who's camping for 2 weeks. She's out in the wild west of New Mexico, hopefully having some great camping weather. So I would like to, I'm just going to give people a couple of minutes to get on and acknowledge you to start with, because I'm going to begin with reading something to you this morning. Jerry, I see you. Victoria. And if you would just please go in the chat and just say where you're from, which is always really fascinating to see. We've got the first two are from France. Claire and Francoise came in from France this morning. They were the first two on. And I see Teresa's here from Switzerland, which is really wonderful. And Alice, are you on yet? I can't see if Alice got on. I hope so. Judy, if not, if you don't see her, maybe you could call her and help her in.
Linda, really... I did speak to her earlier today, and she wasn't sure since she had the time messed up in her head. So she thought maybe she would be with her daughter at this time. So I just told her to come on if she could.
Perfect, because she has a birthday party today. Yep. Alice is 99. Many of you saw her before. She's just amazing. She's still practicing psychologist. I mean, incredible. So Nancy, welcome. I see you here. Nancy Helmer, thank you. And Yael, from Israel. I'm just kind of looking around the world here. Hi, Paula. I wish I could turn my computer and see your purse hanging on the wall, which is always such a treasure for me. So I'm actually, what I'd like to do this morning, I want to read something to you. And this is in a little book that those of you who've been in courses with me, you have it. This is a book that we put together, a collection of my messages from nature from over many, many years. And this is a message about our times, I am totally convinced. And I'm just going to read you how this came about. So this was July 1984. As the early morning sun cast its first rays from behind the Rocky Mountain Ridge across the valley from where I sat, I put my pen to paper and the Atlantis poem flowed unexpectedly from my fingers. And I'm going to give you the message that came after, but I want to give you the background of it, this, what happened first. It was later on that propitious day that I began the first EEG study of T-Touch with Anna Wise, the director of the Boulder Biofeedback Institute of Colorado. And if any of you are interested, and I know some of you have already done this, is Googled Anna Wise and the awakened mind state, because it was a total of four studies that I did with her between 1983, when she first measured me, checking to see if I was indeed in the awakened mind state that Maxwell Cade had been researching for many years. And Anna Weiss was his assistant in the UK originally for 11 years. And then she came to the United States and she took the work for more than 25 years. And I had the great, amazing possibility to work with her in 83, first when she measured me and found indeed I was in this awakened mind state, which means an activation in both hemispheres of beta brainwaves that we use for logical thinking, alpha, which is the connector between the conscious and the subconscious, the theta, where we get these out of the blue messages that come to us, and delta. And I was indeed in this state. And so she wanted to measure my students to see if during the application of the basic 1 1/4 touches, were my students also in this awakened mind state? And so 4 days after this, and so actually indeed, we did that first study in 1984, with about 15 students, and then we did it in 1985, and that's when Eleanor Silverstein was there at the time. And I went home after that. It's a week long, we only did a week with her, and then I had a week long horse training at the Boulder Arabian Horse Ranch. But 4 days later, back home in Carmel, California, during a past life regression with Rhea Powers, I found myself standing on a vast aquamarine crystal stage. And that I'm reading this to you because I believe this is part of what we're doing here, basically, at this time on the planet. I was part of a large gathering saying goodbye near the end of Atlantis. Now, you have to understand, like, I had never had any interest whatsoever in Atlantis. And it was a real shock when I actually got the poem that I'm about to, the message that came to me. We were all carrying large crystals programmed with information about Atlantis. And we had agreed that at some time in the distant future, when the world was once again at a tipping point, we would find our way back together, each bringing precious gifts. My gift would be a special type of simple touch that would remind each person of his or her perfection and oneness with divine spirit and with all that is. That is heaven on earth. And this is... this messages about heaven on earth is something that I continuously get through messages from stones and trees, and yeah, it's pretty wild. So I'm going up with my journal, just sat down and waited for the sun to come up. And as just the sun peeked up behind the mountaintop, I wrote down, "O Atlantis, speak to me." And this was a great shock to me because, like I said, I had no thought ever before Atlantis. I know it's time that I can see the past and future again as one. I'm writing this. I hear the call. I'm ready now. We must all gather. Remember, this is 1984. We must all gather, come together again. The pod was scattered, each learning alone. Finally, we've got it. We've come together to clone, to strengthen our oneness, our knowingness too. Our bonds have weakened. We must learn anew who we are, what we promise to do. So awaken, dear friends. Our family is strong. Come together again to strengthen this bond, to renew our promise, to spread the word, to join our voices so they can be heard above the cries of fear and death. Now, remember, this is 1984. And when I wrote these words, above the cries of fear and death, it's like, what? It's like needing bread and adding leaven to expand the knowing that this can be heaven. And I believe in this time with this virus, that one of the gift, and it's hard to believe there's a gift, but there has to be a gift in this. We see the gift that nature is once again changing. I mean, the skies, so many people I talk to say the skies are clear for the first time. And birds that they haven't heard for sometimes never are actually present. And so many of us are having time to just be quiet and go inside. And that's what it's about. And that's why this T-touch is this 1 1/4 basic circle is like a connector to take us inside. And what are we connecting with inside? This amazing miracle, this miracle that we are, because we are walking miracles. I want you all to just think, sit here a moment and think, wait a minute, how is it that we can speak? How is it that our blood flows? What makes the lungs go? Wait a minute. I mean, what makes the lymph work? And we know from these wonderful scientists, Bruce Lipton, I keep bringing this up, his Spontaneous Evolution book, and my first inspiration in 1976, this book, Man on His Nature, by Sir Charles Sherrington, this Nobel Prize winner, who spoke in the second chapter on the wisdom of the cells with such passion that this miracle, that if you, he wrote that if you cut yourself, what is it that actually, how is it that heals? How does that repair? And that's what put me on the path of just being totally passionate about understanding from an intuitive point of view, finding what comes to me about what makes this tick. And then Joan King, in her book, The Code for Authentic Living, this, where she writes, and I say this over and over, she writes in the very first sentence in the first chapter, that every cell is a genius. And I believe this is what we're doing with T-Touch. It's a way, one of the ways to take us inside and connect with that brilliance, that cellular wisdom in every cell in our body. And I want to, I'm going to read this to you again. Whoops. And this is the book, The Code of Authentic Living. And I just want to remind you that cellular wisdom are energy waves that allow communication and interconnection. And when we have an injury, what happens is the body repairs it. And what T-Touch does is just, it gives us like a connector to awaken the body, to remind the body of its potential for ideal function. When we do that, when we start, and when, thanks to HeartMath Institute, oh my God, when I read, like, I think it was about 16 years ago, I read the report from Dr. Roland McCready from HeartMath Institute. I first connected with them in 97, just the first years that they were just getting started. And when he said that how we look at ourselves, how we speak to ourselves, makes a difference in how our immune systems work, that really made me start paying attention. And this is what, with T-Touch, what I want to inspire you to do is just start talking to your body and talking, and the way we talk is by this 1 1/4 circles, this connector to that divine intelligence in every cell in our bodies. And I believe, I hear it in many, many places now. I think it's so wonderful, and I'm sure many of you have heard this. This idea that this time is a miracle that we have to go inside and be quiet. Oh my goodness, what a difference that is. And so what I would like to do is just encourage us just to start with today. Actually, we'll start with a heart hug. And I'm going to tell you the story of how I discovered that the heart hug can release fear. And it actually happened in about 1986. I was doing a week-long retreat in Santa Fe. And I was co-teaching it with Mia Siegel, who, for those of you Feldenkrais practitioners here, if you've never had the opportunity to work with Mia Siegel, she's just amazing. And so we were co-teaching a class together. And during the lunch break on, I think it was the second day, a woman came to me and she asked me, did I think that T-Touch could help to release fear that she had? And she was a hypnotherapist herself, and she had tried many, many methods to get rid of this unknown fear that she had. And I said, well, I don't know if this is going to help, but just see what happens when you just put one hand over the other on your chest. And I didn't even think of it in those days as the heart chakra. Put one hand over the other and move the tissue in one circle. And in those days, it was just like one circle and a little more. We didn't even have 1 1/4 circles, which is now we know that golden ratio, that spiral that's in all of nature. We didn't know that then. So I just said, try it. I mean, can't hurt. And she went out for her lunch and came back with tears in her eyes. And she said she'd done it. And for the very first time, she felt safe in her body. Now, it was years later, that was 86. I think it was about maybe 8 years ago. I was in South Africa and I had the amazing experience of working in Soweto and working with orphans and teaching them and to do this one hand over the other on their, just on their chest, you know, but as many of you yoga people know, it's your heart chakra. And just think of it as on your chest and move the tissue in one circle and another. And we have this beautiful film that was done by the Johannesburg Film class, showing all these little kids doing this heart hug. And that's when we started calling it a heart hug, because it's like a hug that you give yourself. And in this time, what's being talked about, I have an article here that talks about skin, touch hunger, touch deficit. We're not getting this. And we can, and this is what I really want you to go away today with this idea. We can touch ourselves in this loving way. And that's what I so appreciated in our last class when I asked Nancy Randall, who's a Feldenkrais practitioner, and I was watching her up in the screen, and I asked her, what did she get out of this? And after I had worked with Françoise with her emphysema, and everybody followed with their deeper breathing with your own hands, like what she said was, she just had the best, like the deepest experience of breathing that she'd ever had. And she was quite surprised because the Feldenkrais breathing is a beautiful exercise. And she does yoga breathing, which is fantastic. But she said, this was different. And I said, okay, how is it different? Because, she said, I'm putting my hands on myself in a loving way. And this is something that we need to, many of us learn, need to learn to do, because we're so, we have a tendency as humans to be so judgmental. How do we look? You know, who are we? I mean, we parts of our body that we would rather look some other way. And if we can start thinking of this body as a vessel, a vehicle for our soul, a vehicle, a container, actually, for this 100 trillion cells, and every cell has a divine spark. And I, you've, some of you have heard this many times, but this experience I had with Bruce Lipton when I met with him years ago, and he showed me on his computer a picture of one cell. And he said that that is, there are 100,000 known, like, I don't know what you call it, jobs, you can say, that each cell has, functions that they have. But that's not all. We don't even know them all. And just think, at the heart, what makes all that work? It's the divine. What else can it be? So we are divine beings. This is what I want you to take home today. I want you to start thinking about this. So when we don't like a part of ourselves because maybe it hurts or we don't like the way it looks, connect with this divine cell in every part of the body. And Paula, power going off here with a hurricane. So let's put out heart hugs to all the people who are dealing with the hurricanes, and stay safe. And it's really wonderful to have you here with us. Now, what I'm going to do is show you a couple of things that I've just been doing for self-help in the last, Paula, before, if I can remind you before you go, if you're still here, I want to show you all the ear tea touch, because in emergencies, if anybody is injured or in shock or terrified, just, I want you all to try this. Now, I'll tell you first of all why it works after, but first, just put one thumb behind and the forefinger on the first, the ear lobe, and then do a little circle and a quarter, and just circle and a little slide slightly upward. Now, go into this little bowl of the ear. See, thumb behind, circle and a quarter, and fold the finger and slide slightly upward, about a 15 degree slightly upward, because if I go down, whoa, that is a downer. Slightly upward. Now go a little higher, because we're reaching different parts of the ear, a little higher, and then slightly upward. Now at the top of the ear, be gentle. All with all of them, but especially because some people have a little fold on this here where you see me at the top, and it can be stiff. So be very respectful as you go over. Now, I have a tendency when I'm showing this to go too deep, too hard, because I'm thinking of the times that I've used this when somebody was in shock or unconscious or in a case where the heart was stopped. So I'm doing this like faster. You see, I'm using a faster tempo, but I'm really paying attention to all four aspects, because, which I'm sure most of you know, in the ear are connections to all parts of our body. I wish you could see what just happened. A cardinal just flew in our door and was walking around the kitchen. I have to bring nature into this. I have to interject this. So let's just do this. Now keep doing this. So on the ear tea touch. Now, if you are cold, if you're afraid, if you are having digestive issues or migraines, with migraines, do this very gently. And it may be, if you have in the middle of a migraine, you may not want to do the circle. It may be too much. You might just put your finger there and very gently slide up, because I've been able to show this to people And actually, in a case of a migraine, I do it very gently at first because you just can't, you can't believe that it would work. It does. Very gently. Now, what I'd like to do with this, I would like to just hear from any of you. And if you have had an experience that you would share with the ear to touch. And before I do, and because we have some new people who have never heard this story, I've been using it for shock or injuries on in horse situations for a number of years. When I had an experience in northern Germany, in Hamburg, at the end of an expo, everybody was packing up. It's a, like a long weekend expo. Everybody's packing up. And one of my practitioners, who's a physical therapist, came running over and said, "Linda, you've got to come over here. A guy has just collapsed and everybody's standing around. They've called the paramedics, but nobody's there. And he doesn't look like he's breathing." And I go over there, like there are 20 people standing around not knowing what to do. And he couldn't see any breath. And his eyes are rolled back and his tongue is out. I'm telling you this because I hope that you will remember in any situation where it doesn't look like a person is breathing, you can start this ear T touch, and we have many cases of it, and safely, now start this breathing. Now, so I just kneeled down behind him and I started saying in German that you're going to be okay. Stay with us. You're going to get help. Stay with us, and just in this rhythmic thing. Judy Klein, could I get you to turn your film, your picture off, because it's a lot of movement on it. If you could just turn your camera off a minute. Sorry. And I want you to keep doing this just so we can't see your hands moving all around. Thanks. Now, just, I'd like you to keep doing this a little bit. Like, again, I'm going to tell you all the things this is useful for. If you have stomach pain or digestive issues, or you had an accident and you're shocky, or just start doing this. And like I said before, for migraines, but then it's very gentle, not like I'm doing it. Or if a person is unconscious, you keep their head, of course, don't move them, keep them really still and do this. And we have many, many cases of this for humans. And we also have it for horses and dogs and cats. And I'm going to tell you a little story that none of you would have heard. It happened in Austria about 6 years ago when we were doing a study with 58 people with T-Touch with the Pop Institute. And on the way, there was a cat in the road that had just been hit and run over, and it had blood coming out of its mouth, and we stopped and picked it up, and it was breathing. It was still breathing, but just not present. And so we put it in the back of the trunk, and I very gently started doing ear T-Touch on it. And we were going to take it to a vet because the cat was still breathing. But like I said, blood coming out of the mouth. And I very gently started doing, just talking to it and doing this ear T-Touch. Like this, paying attention to my breathing. Breathe into the nose and out through pursed lips. And on the way, we're driving there. On the way, the cat started to take some like deeper, calmer breath and started to move a little bit and get more present. And by the time we got to the vet, cat was, present with us, and it lived. We checked on it 3 days later and we couldn't find the owner, been hit somewhere in the area, but the cat lived. Now, I'm telling you this because I know there are many here who've had these experiences with their dogs or their cats. While you're on the way to the vet, start doing this ear T-Touch, because you can keep them out of shock or bring them out of shock. The same thing with us or your horses. And I got this, I started this whole ERT touch in 1958, thanks to the fact that my endurance mare, Bint Galita, had a 4-day impaction. And we'd had her on drip, and in those days you didn't do surgery, it wasn't possible. And the vet was on his way to put her down because she had this feed coming out of her nostrils. And those of you who know horses, this doesn't happen to horses, is the rule. And so just to say goodbye, I just started doing these quiet, she was quiet. It's not like she was thrashing or anything. Just quietly doing her ears, and they were ice cold and totally, totally wet. And I'm just intuitively doing this. Just intuitively, from the base of the ear out to the tips of the ear. And I have no idea how long it was, probably, I don't know, at least 10 minutes, maybe longer. And she was just standing there quietly. And pretty soon, no, the ears started to get dry. And then they got warm. And then she lifted her tail and defecated, and that was the end of an impaction. Today, I would use Fleet Enema. Those of you with horses, keep that in your back pocket because it's a miracle. And not many vets I've known have used it. It's amazing. So this is just, this is what laid all this groundwork, knowing that this would also work for humans. And we have hundreds and hundreds of cases now, of case studies with this ear tape touch. So I would like to just open this up, and I'd like to hear from, if you have a story for your own ear, how you have used this, I would really love to hear it. And if you could just, if you could use the little hand thing, you'll see it, or unmute yourself, actually. I can't quite see everybody.
Linda.
Yes.
Did you see there's a question from Glenn? He's asking if there's a difference response depending on which ear you're working on, because you're working on the same ear.
The reason, and thank you, Glenn, that's really important. No, I switch ears. I mean, in the case of the guy with whose heart was stopped, oh, I didn't finish telling you that story. I mean, it wasn't this guy lying there, tongue is out, eyes are rolled back, he's green. I mean, terrible. I was doing both ears. And but I'm only doing one ear because my speaker is on the left ear. So I was doing both ears and both ears at the same time. If it's a migraine or even in like a stomach or something, I do one ear and then I do the other. Why? Because you get tired doing it yourself. So it's just, you know, when I'm doing it myself, I switch ears. Because it's hard to stay, you know, keep that hand up there, especially if something's wrong with you. So thank you, Judy. So I know there are stories some of you have. I would love to hear it.
Hi, Linda. Okay. Ferry here. Just a quick question. So yes. you did do a quarter and a circle on the ear, right? And then you pull.
In the case of the, what I do normally, say it's stomach or whatever, I just do this. I just like, can you see closely? I just move my fingers and then a slide up. It's just, and I'm just doing like complete the circle and do a slightly slide up, whether it's a circle and a quarter, I don't know. In the case of the person with the heart stopped, I just do the ear strokes. That's in any shock or emergency, I don't do the circle and the cord.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know. Good question, and I have no idea. It's a really good question. Maybe some of you have an idea, you've done this, I don't know.
And you said not to slide down, right?
Yes, slide up. Slide slightly upward. Now, there's interesting, if any of you are in the Donna Eden energy medicine. I'm going to change ears here. I took a course last year And what Donna Eden says in her beautiful work is that downward movement is a downer of energy. And I think that is why, I mean, one of the reasons that we found when I was doing the, you know, the circle and a quarter, that we had to have that final upward movement. I have no idea why. Maybe that's one of the reasons. It doesn't feel right to me to end downward, like if I just do a circle from six back to six. But it, intuitively, I knew that we had to come back up. And it's just fascinating over the years how this finally worked out. Paula, you still have your electricity there.
Furniture blowing around outside.
Oh, yikes. So other questions, if you can just unmute yourself. Do you think it will help restore? Let's see if I can see these. Do you think it will restore eyesight? I am seeing double with blurring over it. I really can't see, and it does make me barely able to walk. No, I don't think it's going to restore your eyesight, but let me tell you what I would say about this. With any, like when you can't see, that's a terrifying experience. And one of the things I should have said when I started this class, this T-Touch is never a replacement for medical help. It's something that you can do in addition, in a safe way. And sometimes it's something you can do in cases where there is no medical help, which many of us have been in those situations. So, but in terms of restoring your eyesight, I wouldn't count on that. But what I would do is just, who asked me that? I want to connect with you. If you can say your name, because I can't see it. If you can unmute yourself and we can talk.
It's Donna Shugru. And this happen every once in a while when there are changes, big changes in barometric pressure and astronomical events like super moons or full moons. And we're having a full moon right now, and the hurricane is gonna hit here probably within 2 hours. So I think it's really from that. There is no medical help for this because I know it's related to the MS.
Right. Okay, so Donna and all of you, let's think about this. It comes and goes, right? So let's start breathing and talking to your body. And let's us all, I mean, our eyes are so important to us. Let's just take this opportunity to just connect around this wonder that are our eyes. And with the, I'm putting, you see my thumb on the side, I'm holding my elbow so that I'm not having to just hold my arm up there. I'm holding my elbow, taking a nice deep breath, like, let's take a couple of deep breaths first, like in through the nose and just slowly out through pursed lips. And let's celebrate as we do this with a smile that, wow, we can be here together honoring this body that we are, this miracle that we are here. Think of the fact that you are a miracle, Donna. And let's just deep breath, try in through the nose and out through pursed lips, just around the eyes. And just like, wow, here I am. I feel me. I'm connecting with myself in this way from gratitude. From the time, Donna, that you can see, that your sight is restored. And we know that you are a miracle. And you see, I'm using my fingers, like I'm sort of laying my fingers on, so it's not direct. But find for yourselves, find out what part of your finger that you want to use. For some reason, I want to get just very lightly more of my fingers on my face. No, I'm going to very gently go right over the eye. And Donna, can you think of a favorite animal that you have as you're doing this? And just, can you tell us who that might be? Just give us a little picture here.
My little cat, Talon, who's all white and he's feral. And we just were able, after 14 years, to be able to touch him with two hands.
So can you now imagine the joy that you feel at that, right? And use your hands on your own body, around your eyes, like you're touching him with joy. Bring joy and, oh my goodness, that gratitude that you could do that, right? And actually do some like breathe in. Let's all of us imagine, wow, we're out in some place in nature that you'd love to be. Oh, and you can just have this wonderful smell. Like, what is this scent? I can hear the birds around me here. And I'm going to imagine the feeling, Donna, that is when you're touching that kitty. And bring that same love to your eyes, around your eyes, all of you, all of us. Let's just, yes. Now, as you're making this movement, this circle and a quarter, as lightly as possible over the eyes. It's what I call, I'm just starting now to call it a butterfly detach, right? I forget what we were doing when, maybe it was Valentina, maybe it was you. You talked about a butterfly. That's like that half a pressure. And feel the feeling when you imagine you're touching your favorite animal. And if there's somebody here not into animals, think of something like flowers or plants. What is it that you really love? Some part of nature. And give thanks for your eyes, no matter how they work, that we can do this. Now, Donna, I'd like you to try something. And all of you, I'm going to ask you now to do the circle and a quarter and a pause. Deep breath in through the nose. And as you breathe out through pursed lips, just go back a tiny, tiny quarter of a circle. We call this a circle with a snail's tail.
It's my favorite movement.
How does that feel? Tell us.
It always feels great because it feels like it completes the whole movement.
And I don't understand that or what that's about, because it doesn't go along with the idea that as we come down, it's a downer of energy, does it? But it, as you say, it's something, if you have, for instance, long-standing pain, that's how I started it in the first place. It wasn't long standing, but it was over a couple of weeks that I cracked a rib getting bucked off a very large thoroughbred stallion. And T-touch, and I just found my hands like 1 1/4. Deep breath, quarter circle back. And wow, did that make a difference. So what does that do for you, Donna, when you do that, when you say it's your favorite? T-Touch.
I'm not seeing double as much as I was.
Every day is a miracle for me, but I hear so many of these, like, isn't that amazing? And that just by recognizing that's that divine spark, that's what we're talking to. That, and I want to read this as we, I want to read this again too in this book. There's another little piece I want you to hear. This is on page 14, and I wrote it in the back of the book because I love this so much. When we open ourselves to source energy, because what else is the divine spark, of course, we connect with cellular wisdom. For source energy, that divine spark, is our link to the creative energies of the universe, the creative energies of the universe. So, of course, we can help to heal ourselves. We just are connecting with that brilliance of our that our bodies have for self-care, for self-healing. And for all that, we have many Feldenkrais practitioners here. When you add that into the beautiful work that you do with your Feldenkrais, and you just see the body as a wonder. You know, when people ask me, so what am I thinking when I'm working on a person or an animal? Or I see the beauty. I see the beauty. And that's what I'm connecting with. But I see that, what I mean by that, the beauty of creation. It's like this wonder, and that we have this opportunity, and we can all join on it. No matter what our eyesight is like, we can celebrate that. I'm going to go to my other eye, because when this is over, I'm going to get new lenses, because I can see just fine, but when letters are gray, it's really hard to read them. And I want something else. So I'm going to add in this little quarter of a circle back. We call it a circle with a snail tail. And I started calling that in Russia in 1986, when I was working at the veterinary center at the Olympic Center in Moscow. I was there as a citizen diplomat with the Esalen Institute, and making the connection through the animals. And I worked on a horse that was in such pain from navicular disease. And man, she couldn't even tolerate a circle on her body. But I can do a quarter of a circle, actually. And then after I worked on her for a while, a couple of times, I could do this circle and a quarter, pause, quarter circle back. Now it's kind of interesting, because what my hands are wanting to do, and I'd like to just encourage you to let your hands do what they want. Before, when I was thinking about this, and thinking of releasing that, when I was thinking of releasing the fear, I was doing, this is really unusual, I never noticed this before, I was doing a counterclockwise circle, stopping at 3, and going back to 6, instead of the other direction. Isn't that interesting? I have never noticed that before. So whatever direction your hands want to go in, allow that. I wonder if Marnie Reeder made it on, because she is in Texas and she was going to get on today. And I just wanted to remind Marnie that she couldn't do the clockwise circles for a couple of years. Doesn't look like she got on. Darn. Judy, I wonder if you could call Marnie and see if she knows how to get on. It's very possible that she doesn't have the right number to get on. That'd be great. Now, Donna, what's happening?
I'm opening my left eye. What I've this started yesterday, and I'm sure it's because of this hurricane. And I couldn't open my left eye. If I opened my left eye, I was seeing double, even worse. And then this blurring that goes over it, which made it even worse. So I was having trouble even getting to the bathroom, but I feel like I could walk better now. And I am sitting here with my eyes open, and I didn't have my left eye open since yesterday.
That makes me cry. I mean, such
me
a
too, because I'm terrified of going blind with this disease. It's one of the side effects. And so when my eyesight gets affected, I get really frightened.
Yes. And how do you feel now that we were able to do that together?
I feel stupid that I didn't know to do that myself.
But you know what? It is this vessel of the Zoom, this collection of people caring about others that helps that. And I would like to invite you anytime that you feel that way, please just call me and we can get on like this and I can support you. Don't feel like you're alone, because that's the worst thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Because I couldn't walk this morning because of the eyesight, and it made me fall, and it took Jim quite a while to get me up. And, you know, I didn't hurt myself falling. I kind of slid down a chair, but it was truly my eyesight. I couldn't see where I was going. And now I can open my left eye, which I really couldn't open before at all.
So let's give thanks to the Creator, yes?
Yes.
Give thanks, all of us, that this, and just know that everybody here helps. And by doing this on our own eyes, knowing that all of you who work with other people, we can give this gift to others in this way. And it's just the lightest possible connection with that amazing creative energy in every cell in our body, that connection to the divine. And that's, I believe, what this virus is about. We were on a downward spiral. I believe it's saving us from nuclear war in the direction we were going. And it's giving us all a chance to go inside. And we need a lot of prayers for all of the people who don't have support, who don't have that. I see that Sage has joined us, and she only has a few moments. Sorry, Sage. And I would love it if you would share any of the stories of where you've given self-help to. I remember when you were teaching with special needs kids, and some of the stories are any of the ways that you've given others for self-help, Sage Lewis.
Hi, everybody. thanks for having me on. I can jump back on again in a half an hour, but I have to talk to a kitty at noon. So there's so much. I mean, what I'm noticing about this work is that every single day I use it in some way, either for myself or someone else. About an hour ago, we were making cornbread in the kitchen, and I leaned across and hit my arm on, James had lifted up a pan lid. And so I immediately, like, my hands just go right to doing the circles now. And what I noticed in just a few moments of doing some light little raccoon tea touches around that area that I put ice on it right away, and it was very minor, but I could feel the cells, honest to God, saying, thank you. I'm not kidding. Like, when I was working my cells, it was like, oh yeah, the ice was fine. That was fine. But thank you for acknowledging that I exist. And anyway, it doesn't hurt anymore. So that was something that just happened in the last hour. There was a kid that I worked with many, many years ago. I was working at high school for at-risk teens in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I don't even know how T-Touch came into the classroom. I don't even remember at this point because it was so long ago. But what I do remember was showing this group of kids how to do just some really simple circular touches on their own bodies. I mean, these are kids, there's no way you can touch them, and you can't touch kids in school like that anyway anymore. But I remember teaching them just to do some very simple circular touches. And this one girl, she said, "Oh my God, it feels like I've been born again." And I love, not like Christian born again, but it was like, I feel new. And then another kid said to me, "I feel like my arm just ate a mint." And I love that, this kind of effervescent feeling. And I remember this boy in particular, after I had just taught them some simple circles, I was explaining about the cells. And I drew on a piece of paper, I said, you know, and when our cells are unhappy, and I drew a sad face. And I said, we can do these little circular T touches. And these are high school kids, but they were pretty low functioning kids. I said, when we do these little circles all over the body, it makes the cells become smiley faces. So then I showed them the smiley face. Anyway, it was probably a week later, I was walking through the classroom, and this particular boy, he said, "Hey, Sage, my cells all have smiley faces." And I'm happy to come back if you need more stories, or if you need more in the next, you know, half hour. I can come back in a half hour if that's helpful.
Well, we're going to start hearing. And of course, I always just so appreciate your support and your help and your stories. And I'm going to, what I'd like to do is take one story from you, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break just to give you get up, stretch. I need to stretch because I fell getting into our pool on Thursday, and it's just my guardian angels, a total miracle, because I was stepping down into the pool, and I have a four-legged heavy bench that I just touched, just because it's a long step down. And I put my hand on it, and I had totally forgotten that I'd moved it in preparation for the hurricane last week. And it collapsed and flipped into the pool and flipped me down and onto my back. And my arms went like this. My left arm hit the steps right there. You can see the bruise. This is nothing, right? I mean, because if it had hit there, that's where I have a plate and five screws from my elevator escapade in November, but it hit there. And on this elbow, it hit the cement, and it didn't break. It doesn't even have a bruise. And, but oh man, I landed on my back, and for 4 days, I needed so much help getting out of bed because it was really painful, but lots of T-touches and lots of Beamer and just talking to the cells. And listen, you all, so much gratitude that I didn't break anything. I mean, that's all I could think of, how blessed I am. So anyway, I need to like stretch in between. And one story, something to do with self-help. Let's see if I can, Judy, if you can see, you can unmute yourself if you, Victoria, do I see you moving to unmute yourself? Okay, you find your little.
Found it.
Good. Are you Italian?
No. Actually, I was born in Hungary, but that's my husband. Has an Italian name.
Ah, of course.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
You know, I met you many years ago at the Feldenkrais Conference.
Which one?
And, you know, I don't remember. It was just a long time ago. But all I know is that you came and you were working on a dog. So there we are sitting, and I have never seen it. This is the first time I ever heard of anything like that. Anybody working on animals. I have rescued many, mostly cats. I have a cat person. But dogs only because it's more difficult to live in a city with a dog. Cat is different. But now I don't have cats, not have dogs. I have chipmunks.
Oh! And
I don't like them. They are eating my flowers and my vegetables.
Not so good.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you do?
But come on, Victoria. Tell me how much can they eat?
Okay. What I want to say is that something that happened in my life, throughout my life, that when there is crisis in my life, there are many crises. I've come back from World War II, survivor kind of person as a child. And what we are going through now is very weird for me.
Yeah.
But what has happened throughout my life, and this is maybe the fourth time, when I go through a crisis, my eye, my left eye goes out. Right now, it doesn't open.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I decided to, okay, this is it. And I see cross-eyed, but vertical cross-eyed with this one. So, and I have been doing the T-touches here, and actually it got a little bit better. But there's a lot of fear, obviously. And even for me to talk about myself is really difficult. Like the first two meetings, I wanted to introduce myself and I didn't really do it. So here I am.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so what I'd like to invite you to do, and all of you, you see, I've been doing this work now with the circular T-touches since 1983. And I'm constantly learning more, understanding more about it. But what I absolutely get now, and there's no question, this thing, these messages that I was getting over all these years, like, this is heaven on earth. What does that mean, heaven on earth? When we recognize that creative force in every cell in our body. What do we, if you don't, I was talking to someone who was an agnostic, but wait a minute, I'd like you to read one of these books on how the cells work. And this particular book, it's hard to get.
Yeah, what is it called again?
This is called The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom.
Okay.
And the thing is that she describes, and there are other books like this, I'll find some other books that are easier to get, but I love the way she describes exactly how the function of each part of the cell. And it's so brilliant. Wait a minute. If we just realize there's something outside of ourselves that is making that happen, that is the great spirit, the creative force of the universe. Some call it God, some call it Allah, some call it in just this magnificent intelligence that is beyond us. And when we connect with that and we realize that we are walking miracles, when we get that, then connect in with that, Victoria, when you come to that place of fear. And I would like to say to all of you, I had a really amazing, one of the many past life regressions I had with Chris Griscom at the Light Institute in Galisteo, New Mexico. And what I saw, Victoria and all of you, that every cell in our body, it contains, I would say program, but that sounds like it's conscious. No, it contains all of the experiences of every human who has walked on this earth. We are a collection of that. And that means that we are holding all the fears, not only the fear that you have coming from where you came from in this lifetime, but all lifetimes of all beings. Now, interesting. Okay, that means all the hatred, the fear, the jealousy, the separation, all of that. And we have the possibility, with the this connective 1 1/4 magical, amazing, golden ratio spiral circle to connect with that intelligence, that creative intelligence here, whatever that is.
I have been doing that actually every night when I wake up. I am teeth touching. You do a lot of that, and it has helped me feel better.
And when you feel the fear, know that it's not just your fear. It's the fear that we're all holding, and that we need to recognize that. When we recognize that, okay, and there, you know, protect ourselves with various protections. When I come back, I'd like to give us all a protection that we certainly can use, because there are many different ones. And
can I say one more thing about teeth touch?
Yes.
About that experience with animals. I have two dogs that I just did that with when I first, you know, heard and did. And this one dog belongs to a friend who is also a Feldenkrais person, and she came to my house. We were going to exchange and something, and she goes on the table and the dog jumps up. I also after I had done it to her already, to the dog, but now it came, I want it again. I just loved it.
Beautiful. And I wish I could remember who it was that somebody last week said that, I hope maybe you're here, somebody who was in Amherst and heard Moshe when I was working on that horse for the group, heard Moshe say that he wished that he had thought of that to work with animals, because it can't be a placebo, right? With an animal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, let's take a 10-minute break. I'll stop this recording and I'll start it again, because if for people who can't be here, they can listen to this one, just one hour at a time, approximately. So see, I have 8 after, so at 20 after, 12 minutes, easy, 20 after, we'll start again.
Okay.
Get a drink of water. Thank you. It's so great to connect with you.
Thank you.